This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies and flunkies, welcome to the NWA Saturday special. I know I have a lot of juice in my voice because we're actually recording on Saturday. We usually record on Friday nights, but, you know, myself and the Podfather, we're enjoying our Friday nights in the summertime, so we have to sometimes delay things a little bit. This is the number one NWA podcast, not only in these United States of America, which we are celebrating our Independence Day this weekend, but in the world. But I can't do this alone. We're going to talk a little bit about the new NWA, which we love so much, and things are starting to heat up, and I can't do this alone, like I said. So I'm bringing in the Podfather himself, the PTB Podfather. Like I said, the number one co-host of the number one NWA podcast in the world, Scott Criscolo. Podfather, you had a good time last night. Where were you at? The Cauliflower Alley Club last night?
I was at the the museum there in upstate New York, and I had to drive Ole Anderson home because he was still pissed off. He hates Ric Flair and hates Vince and hates. He hates hating. He hates having to hate. That's all he is. I was at the Cauliflower Alley Club in between Graham Cawthon and Denny Brown. No, I don't know. It is the NWA Saturday special. We did drop a little later today, because the doctor and I were at separate events on Friday evening. So we are recording this morning. But it's all fresh. It is a great week. The National Wrestling Alliance, for a couple of reasons. We had a good episode of Power that we will recap. We will talk about, I guess, a card going on later this month in July. Speaking of Cauliflower Alley Club and the NWA, I guess a card going on down in Charlotte later this month that's going to have a couple of title matches that we can discuss. But I want to open the show, Doctor, with some sad news in professional wrestling. I'm tired of talking about wrestling deaths, but we had another one earlier this week. Many of you WWEF fans, like the Doctor and myself, remember The Patriot. He was the guy that actually had Kurt Angle's music before Kurt Angle had Kurt Angle's music. He came in, what was it, late 96. He was, pretty good upper mid carder. And then at In Your House Ground Zero, he actually got a World Wrestling Federation championship match with the Hitman Bret Hart, whose birthday it is this weekend. Then Del Wilkes kind of faded in as we entered 98 and the Attitude Era got going. And sadly, this week, Del Wilkes passed away at the age of 59. Way, way too young. But he had his demons. And sadly, you know, the thing about it, Doctor, unfortunately, a lot of these guys, and I think the one most glaring example is Eddie Guerrero, unfortunately. Even though you may no longer do your demons have done damage to your body. And eventually, sometimes it comes back and sneaks up on you. And I think that's what happened to Del Wilkes. And that is also what happened to.
He definitely turned his life around. He think he was a car salesman for the last like 20 years or so. And I've heard him on interviews and some podcasts, and, you know, he definitely went to, through some tough times, even served time in jail, and had a real tough time with the painkillers. And, you know, people don't realize, yes, you know, we know that the matches are scripted, but these guys are athletes, and these guys' bodies take a beating. It's not, you know, we could sit here and we could pass judgment, but we're not doing that every single day. And there's no off season in wrestling like there is in other sports.
No, there is not. No, there is not.
So, you know, this is why we're seeing some of this. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to pass judgment. And when you see somebody who does turn his life around like Del Wilkes did, you know, it's kind of sad to see them, you know, pass away so young. And, you know, one thing I always I remember this story about him when he came to the WWF. Not sure if I ever said it on any of these other podcasts, but as you know, we I had met Kevin Kelly, who used to be on the Place to Be
Wrestling Network
at one time. Had his
drink
own
your coffee
show.
Faster.
Yeah, I know. And
yes, Kevin Kelly, a big friend of ours, absolutely.
And I met him. We were actually in radio at the time in New Haven, and he actually was picking up a few shifts because he used to do radio and he wanted to do it again. And I was talking to him in between breaks. You know, we were in the talk station. He was on the top 40 station. And I remember him saying, you know, I was very surprised that they kept the Patriot name. And he goes, yeah, you know, we were in this meeting and everybody's like, well, okay, what are we going to name this guy? You know, with the mask. And Kevin Kelly just goes, just call him the Patriot. I mean, you know, like I just the way he said it, like, okay, guys, why are we banging our heads against the wall? Just call him the Patriot. And yes, he did have some national exposure when he was like in the GWF when they were on ESPN, but he wasn't a household name. So bring him in as the Patriot. What's the big deal? So I just, that's something I just always remember having that story. And, you know, he had a nice little run with Bret Hart. I think his demons got to him, and I think he could have, had a nice long run in the WWF, you know, had he not had his issues going on, and he had a lot of injuries. That was another problem.
Right.
And I mean, he was a decent hand in the ring. He wasn't awful by any stretch. You know, he will be missed. The thing is that you just hate to hear this news, and we're reporting it a lot, you know, way too often. But, you know, unfortunately, just all of us in regular life, things that we do and things that we shouldn't be doing to our bodies, which we're all guilty of from time to time, will catch up with you. And unfortunately, you know, his past caught up with him, and, you know, prayers out to his family.
Absolutely. And we see it way too often. It's also, speaking of wrestlers that have passed away, it's also it would have been Joseph Hudson, a.k.a. Josephus's birthday, I think, this weekend, too. So, or over the last week or so. So we hate starting our show off with something like that. But we here at the Saturday Special and the Place to Be Wrestling Network send prayers out to the family of Del Wilkes, the Patriot, because we've talked about him many times on many shows. Place to Be podcast. You know, JR and I went through 97 back in our vintage vaults. So we talked a lot about the Patriot, and he was a pretty good character. But, unfortunately, he was one of those casualties of the change of tone in wrestling as we went into 1998 and things got a little, you know, the Patriot was kind of dorky, unfortunately. And although a cool, like, Dark Patriot, although wasn't the Dark Patriot a heel in World Class? Wasn't there a Dark Patriot? I think there was.
I think it was in GWF.
GWF. Feuding with him, right? Yeah.
Right.
So, anyway, rest in peace, Del Wilkes, the Patriot. You will be missed. Passed away at the age of 59, which is way, way too young. So, moving on. Before we get into our power recap, it looks like, Doctor, and this is good news, it looks like that the NWA is kind of stretching out to some shows around the country, promoting themselves. And this is a good start for them. Before they start doing, you know, their own, like, full-blown live events, they should, like, broker their talent out to other shows.
And they were doing that before the pandemic. Nick Aldis was on a lot of different shows. So they were branching out a little bit. But when the pandemic hit, they weren't really able to do that. I think they did a little bit last summer. I want to say that I think Nick Aldis did a couple of matches over last summer when things opened up a little bit. But for the most part,
he wrestled Brian Pillman's kid back in December for the title. Of course, Brian Pillman Jr. is now in AEW. You're right. He did defend the title a couple times.
So I think, you know, this is a good chance to get out there. These independent promoters. The sad thing is that independent wrestling was really, really, really hot before the pandemic. And, you know, those small promoters, you know, it's very hard if you haven't been running for a year to keep the funding going to do these. So I hope these small companies, these small promoters are able to get back up and running, because not only does NWA guys wrestle on the independents, but AEW guys will occasionally do it, because these guys need the work. You know, AEW is only running a couple of shows a week, so they're not wrestling every week. Now, is it good for their bodies? Yes. So you get the rest that you need, but sometimes you need just some matches to get the ring rust off, especially after this long year. So I think this is great. I'm excited about it. I just wish the show was more in our area up here in the Northeast, but oh well. maybe eventually we'll get something in our area.
I think so. I think it'll happen over time. It'll happen over time. Like I said, I think my prediction is you and I will be at an NWA live event sometime in 2022. That's my prediction. But coming up, today, if it's a Saturday special, coming up, today's the 3rd, 3 weeks from today, 3 weeks from today, on Saturday, July 24th, from the Hilton University Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, is The Gathering 2. Bacalaki. The Gathering 2. Of course, The Gathering, the nickname of one of yours and my favorite pay-per-views ever, Starrcade 85. This must be the second show, it's funny, they're using the name of an NWA pay-per-view, but the logo looks like WrestleMania 2. I think that's pretty funny that they're morphing two things together. So, there is a card.
Have a little fun with it. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? What the fuck? Nobody cares. Colby Carino, one of my favorite heels now in NWA, and we'll explain why when we do our power recap, will be there. Camille will be defending the NWA Women's World, or is it World Women's? Why do I fuck that up all the time? I think it's World Women's. World Women's. That's what I think it is.
World Women. Yeah, World Women's.
Ask the world beautiful people.
Forget about it now.
Well, when you're the 7th best NWA podcast, you have time to remember stuff because no one's listening to you. The NWA World Women's Championship is on the line. Camille will be defending her title for the first time against Kenzie Page. That'll be on Saturday, July 24th. And the rematch. And if you're Sean Kidd, you should probably be happy about this, because they're blowing this match now instead of maybe having it on August 29th in St. Louis. But Trevor Murdoch gets his long-awaited rematch with the National Treasure, Nick Aldis, for Sweet Charlotte, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. So that's two matches. I'm sure there's other matches on the card. But you can check it out on Twitter.
Now, here's the deal. Will they mention this stuff on the actual Power
they should
broadcast? Because I know that Billy's big into doing this episodic kind of television thing, which I guess technically all wrestling is, but more of like, you know, kind of like seasons, like a TV show. So it would be neat for them to kind of start recognizing some of these other things going on. So this way it kind of keeps the continuity.
Or
is it Trevor and Nick are wrestling on this independent show to kind of get used to working with each other to do, the blow off match, I guess, possibly on the pay-per-view. So there's a few ways you could look at this. So Shawnee, not to try to, you know, burst your bubble, Hilton, but there could be other ways.
I'm trying to find the like where you can see the whole card, unless it's just being announced. There's no like link or anything. Like, I don't even know how I'll have to look at it. It's called the Hilton Rumble at the Gathering 2. Saturday, July
24th. They name it after the hotel. I love it.
Yeah, the Hilton Rumble. So it'll be Camille and Kenzie Page for the NWA Women's World Women's Championship.
That was and, Ric Flair's pay-per-view every single night after the matches.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woo! And then Nick Aldis defending Sweet Charlotte, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship against Trevor Murdoch in a rematch from When Our Shadows Fall. So while we're talking, Doctor, throughout the show today, I'm going to look up and see if there's a full card for Hilton Rumble, so, or The Gathering 2, or the 67 names that it seems like this show has. So I'll take a look at check that out. Okay. Let us now recap the week that was on NWA Power. We had some pretty good matches, a lot of advancement, and we could have had a title match. Did we have a title match? I am not sure. But we get a mega announcement to start, so let's get into it. It was this past Tuesday, June 29th, of course, at GPB. I was surprised. This is the fourth straight week of a show. So, Doctor, they must have taped a bevy of shows that weekend of When Our Shadows Fall, because I would have most definitely thought we were going to get like a, you know, a power surge or an interview show, because usually after 3 weeks of Power, they usually take a, you know, a different show and then do the next set of shows. So four straight weeks of Power. So very excited about that. So I want to thank Josh Lopez, by the way, who helped me with my notes. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh Lopez Media. He helped me out with my Power notes. So a big announcement from Joe Galli to start the show. The NWA will be introducing a new point-based tournament dubbed the Championship Series. And it will start in 2 weeks on the July 13th episode of Power. I was pretty stoked about this for a couple reasons. Number one, I love tournaments, as Dr. G very well knows.
Yes, you're a big tournament guy.
I love tournaments.
I'm 50-50 on it.
I love tournaments for two reasons. Let me break that down. Number one, it's a great storyline tool. You can create storylines from tournaments. You know, two guys wrestle. For instance, even though the match wasn't great, Jake Roberts and Rick Rude at WrestleMania 4 built to a crescendo. The match that from the world title tournament, we had a year long feud within a couple of months. You know, Rude painted Chris Cheryl Roberts' face on his crotch. Great storyline hook. but tournaments always lead to other storylines. It's a good creative melting pot to build other things for the future, because you have so many matches going on, you could create things from it.
Number two, agree with you. I don't mind tournaments once in a while. Sometimes when the tournament thing started getting, it was doing it too much. I think you need to do it once in a while. You shouldn't be doing it kind of like the Royal Rumble once a year. Nice.
Yes, I agree.
If you had Royal Rumble four times a year, we would hate it and would be boring.
Right. No, I agree with you on that. And number two, I think particularly whoever you book to win or go far is a launching pad for a certain person. So it does have its advantages, but I agree with you. One thing about tournaments, if you do, you know, five intercontinental title tournaments in 2 years, then then there's too many, there's too many.
It just gets watered down, you know, like Hell in the Cell now, you know, have the one pay-per-view, you know what I'm saying? Where you don't want it on every single show. That's why we were saying is that the NWA needed to start doing something a little different than just match, you know, have some stipulations, have some gimmicks to it, but not too much. Don't overdo it, but have it every once in a while to make it seem special.
Correct.
You know,
yep.
You know, hardcore matches, that was a special thing. But then in the Attitude Era, because it got over so much, then let's just have a hardcore match, you know, have five of them on a show. You know, you have to, you know, you can't give too much of it. You have to make people want it and want to be able to, wow, okay, this is, we haven't seen this. Or, you know, come on, how much do you look forward to the Royal Rumble every year? Because, you know, you figure there's going to be a surprise or something like that, because it's once a year.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't want to see another one of these tournaments at least 6 months to a year. I don't want to see it on every pay-per-view. That's my point.
I don't disagree with you at all. I don't disagree with you at all. And the second thing I like about this is this is kind of reminds me, it definitely has a feel of one of the favorite kind of tournament-style events in wrestling, and that's the when New Japan does the G1 Climax, which is, of course, a point-based system. It's not really a tournament. It's like a season. And for those that know, and if you want to learn a lot about the G1 Climax, listen to archived episodes of Place to Be Nation's main event. Steve Willey is like the G1 guy. And we talk about it a ton, and we'll be talking about it over the coming weeks because the G1's usually in the summertime, although I think because of the Olympics, I don't think they're going to do the G1 in New Japan until October, but we'll talk about it when we get there. And I think it's kind of a cool system to, I love standings and stuff like that. I've always been a mark for that kind of crap. So, I'm excited about this. And I think, and now let's be honest, Doctor, I think for the NWA right now, I think they need something pointed, like a goal, because we've said over the past couple weeks that episodic wrestling television is fine if you've got a goal, if you've got an end game. But, and our man Sean Kidd has said this from time to time, it feels like it's just a show. And then the next show is just a show. And then the next show is just a show. We like to have, so we need
to. Yeah, you have to link everything together. I think they're doing that. Now, to us, maybe some of the storylines maybe at times seem convoluted, but they're obviously going somewhere with it. They're trying to make it where because of social media now, there's no element of surprise anymore. So I think they're trying to think, oh, we're thinking, okay, well, they're going to do this or they're going to do that, or because they did this in the past, and they're kind of tripping us up. And we'll get into that a little bit later with the tag team situation, which I think is what you know, I know when we were chatting with Sean, what he was saying was it seemed like things are getting convoluted, but I think they're getting convoluted for a reason, is to keep you guessing. Mm-hmm. To keep you coming back. What's going on? Why is this happening? Now, sometimes right. That could backfire on you, but that's my opinion on it. I just think I like the fact that because, I mean, we want to have a lot of buzz on the NWA, but you don't get the same kind of buzz that AEW and WWE get, obviously, that we don't have people trying to make predictions and stuff coming out beforehand. We're actually, I mean, when we watch it, we really don't know what's going to happen. Right. I mean, you know, sometimes we've predicted some things, obviously, and that's fine because that's just part of being a wrestling fan now is, you know, we try to guess how to book or how we would book it. But there's times, though, that they surprise us. So I'm enjoying it, you know.
Oh, this is interesting. We'll talk more about this gathering. It's actually a whole weekend in Charlotte. It's a whole weekend.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it in a minute. It's a whole weekend, apparently. All right. So starting on July 13th on Power, we will have the Championship Series point standings. And obviously this is leading towards I don't know what the end game is, whether it's a world title match. Maybe it's just setting up what the backbone of NWA 73 will be on August 29th in St. Louis. So we'll talk
they
more
do
about
need
that.
To do a better job of promoting the pay-per-view, though, and getting people to buy it, though. I will say
yes.
That. They have
we
to,
are. I mean, we are now. Yeah, we're about 8 weeks out.
So yeah, they have time.
But by the beginning of August, by the first week of August, we need to know at least maybe three or four matches, including the main event.
Personally, I don't know if you could, you know, I think today you could order at any time. Like, to me, there's, you know, I understand they want to put the Ricky Morton school and all these, you know, Austin, that's fine, you know, nice, cutesy, you know, that's great. But you really should be having advertising for the pay-per-view. I mean, we should see it at least 2-3 times a show and getting it out there in your face. You know, when they do put video packages together, they do a great job. They really need to start pumping it up better. Listen, I'm not a marketing genius, so I don't claim to be one, but you have to get it in people's minds. I mean, I know they sometimes it's mentioned in a interview occasionally, but you have to have constant visual, you know, like a visual aid of whether it be a video or just graphics, something that's constantly putting NWA 73 in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. They don't do that enough. Enough with the – I agree with you. Enough with the Ricky Morton school – Austin Idol's promos in the middle and the store and all. And
you could still have that. That's fine.
Enough with the back purchasing, too. For like 6 straight weeks, instead of promoting When Our Shadows Fall, they kept talking about buying the replay of Back for the Attack. Enough. It's there. We get it. You got to look ahead, not look back. We have to stop doing that. So we open the show with an amazing women's match that I was incredibly excited about. And that is Genocide, my girl, with Taryn Terrell, now her manager, apparently, taking on Lady Frost, who I kind of dig. Good match. Another example of the depth of the NWA women's division that some promotions wish they had. It's a pretty damn good division building from day from week to week.
I always have to get your digs in. I love you.
Who do you think I'm digging on? I'm digging on other promotions. See, you're inventing my feud with AEW. You think I was referring to AEW. AEW has an amazing women's champion right now, Dr. Britt Baker. I'm very excited. It was when they had the other garbage champions, but now they have a champion to be proud of. But hey, Ring of Honor has no women's division. Technically, New Japan has no women's division, really.
Ring of Honor is still around.
Yes, it is. Well, WWE will buy the chips.
I'm just being
WWE will buy the pieces of it. But anyway.
All right.
This was a fantastic match.
So we don't get off our topic like we normally do.
Well, you're the one that interrupted me. Have some more coffee. Frost sends Genocide shoulder first into the steel ring post. She hits the schoolgirl roll up for a two count. Frost hits another sunset flip. Then a spinning enziguri, which is a nice move. Genocide just punches Frost in the back and then hits a killer tombstone pile driver and gets the win. So they are definitely building up Genocide as a beast in the division. So your thoughts, Dr. G, on both the match and your thoughts on each wrestler, on Lady Frost and Genocide.
Don't know too much about Lady Frost except for this match. You know, a decent match. I think Genocide, they're trying to get just some more ring work in. I think she's improved compared to when we first saw her. It's going to be interesting to see how they build her. I do see that they're going to build eventually, even though they have wrestled already, but to a big match between her and Camille. That's basically the end game eventually. The match wasn't too bad. I enjoyed it. I mean, I think with the women's division, there's some that are very seasoned, and then there's some that need the ring work. And I didn't see too many, glaring issues in this match. Again, we've seen Genocide, and we're critical at times of her, but I do think that she's improving. I think she's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the future. But she needs to work. And putting her with Taryn Terrell kind of to help her, Taryn's pretty decent on the stick. So I think that's a smart move as well. How do you feel? I mean, do you feel that Genocide's improving? I know that she's one of your favorites.
I love Genocide. And yes, I do. I think her power moves are crisp. I think she definitely is learning probably from Camille and learning from Thunder Rosa how to put over her power moves. So I think with time she'll be a stud.
I didn't realize that Camille was in the business for a while.
I didn't either. So when you're in the indie circuit for so long and you're not seen a lot.
Yeah, again, Camille, her presence, she kind of has that China presence. I mean, mm-hmm. Please, I'm not going to compare to China. China was in the class by herself. But she talks. she needs a mouthpiece. But she's getting a little better, I have to say. She's not as, off. What's the word I'm looking for? She's not as disjointed in her promos as she once was, but I like that the intimidation when she wasn't talking. I just thought that was great. And I think that's, you know, kind of how China was built in the beginning. I mean, China was never really, really great on the stick herself either. Right. It was just that intimidating presence that she brought. And I think that they should have left it with that, with Genocide, and had somebody else speaking for her, whether it be like somebody like a Taryn Terrell, you know, somebody that could, you know, not, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? I'm sorry. My mind's not catching up to the coffee. But she just needs, I think she just needs a mouthpiece. That's my opinion on Camille.
Okay.
I know we were talking about Genocide, but, and that's why I like what they're doing with Genocide. Put somebody that's
yeah, she doesn't talk. She doesn't talk. I enjoy that.
I like that. So that's what they should have done with Camille. That's just my opinion. So I don't really care what anybody says.
Yeah, pretty much. So Genocide gets the win over Lady Frost. I think Lady Frost is a good worker too, and I think she'll be all right. So we were supposed to have an NWA World Television Championship match. If you remember last week on NWA High Voltage on YouTube, Sal Renaro won a triple threat number one contenders match to get the number one contender spot. He came out, was doing an interview, and who came out and beat the shit out of him? Colby Carino, son of PTB Wrestling Network alumnus Steve Carino. This is exactly what we needed. This is exactly what we needed. We needed a vicious heel to come out and just fuck shit up. And we don't see that enough on the episodes of Power. I feel like a lot of it's very block, 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 block sometimes. He came out and he pummeled the shit out of Sal Renaro. And so our title match is not happening. I got to be honest, Doctor. I like him. He's got his cute little tights and all that shit. But I'm Sal Renaro'd out. Like, he's not... He's Barry Horowitz. Like, I'm ready for actual guys that are going to have some kind of bankability.
I see where they're going with this, kind of like the underdog, kind of like, you know, what they did with 1-2-3 Kid, you know, mm-hmm. back in the 90s. I see where you're going here. I do think, you know, having Colby Carino attack him was awesome. I mean,
yes, it was.
He is going to be a great heel. And I will tell you this. I just hope he doesn't get snatched up by one of the bigger companies. But I think he has a future of, you know, you need to Strictly Business is going to be your main heel group. But not mm-hmm. everybody's going to be in Strictly Business. You don't want to water right. it down like you did the NWO.
Exactly. Yep.
So you want to have. You want to have different heel factions or heel, you know, singles wrestlers that could also carry that part of the division, because you can't, not everybody's going to be in Strictly Business. So this is great. I think, I like where they're going with this.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you
100%. Now, is this going to lead to Colby and the Pope? But I don't know, because the Pope is kind of involved with Tyrus. So it's, there's a lot going on.
No, but I'm fine with Colby Carino starting to like bully and push around the guys in that, you know, I guess division, if you will. I think that's fine. I think that's pretty cool. So I'm okay with that. But that was a big move to, and Sal Renaro's a good guy to beat the shit out of. That's kind of his, you know, that's kind of his gig. So out comes Austin Idol, our man, and Tyrus, who officially say they are what's the word I'm thinking of? What did he say? Not committing war. What's the word I'm thinking of? They are declaring war on the Pope, the NWA World Television Champion. But then out of nowhere, the Pope comes out, gets in the ring, says, "Come on, man, let's go. You want to go to war?" And instead of getting in the ring, Austin Idol holds him off and they walk into the back. So typical face heel runs off like a bitch kind of thing. So a fine little segment there just to keep that bubbling to the surface a little bit. Next up, we have Thunder Rosa talking to Mae Valentine, and Thunder Rosa says that she likes Melina. She's not sure where Melina's going, but Melina's on her own tonight in her match against Kylie Rae. Now, I have a feeling that segment, that interview segment was taped and Thunder Rosa wasn't there. That's my take, but that's okay. That's what
I think. Yeah, you know, I do see what Shawnee's talking about a little bit, but again, they're keeping us guessing at the same time. Like, Thunder Rosa just seems like she's floating here. Like, where is she in this whole women's division at this point? And she's the best in the division. So I feel like they're trying, you know, I don't really know where they're going with this storyline, to be honest.
I'm quite not either. Yeah, the specific stuff involving Melina, I have no idea.
But it's keeping us guessing, so it's, you're wondering. But is it leading to still eventually being Camille versus Thunder Rosa for the title at NWA 73? I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know either. Yeah.
That's what I like to see, but.
So our next match was actually slapped together at the last minute because of the NWA World Television title match not happening. So it's a six-man tag. Our NWA World Tag Team Champions, Aaron Stevens and Kratos, split up and take a pair of young guys to have like an exhibition six-man match. So on one side, Aaron Stevens takes Captain Yuma, one of those goofy dudes with, I think he's got goggles. And guess who's back this week, Doctor? Once again, just for you. Your boy. Mims is back. Let me tell you something. That guy's a hoss, though. That kid works his ass off. He does. J.R. Kratos takes Hawks Airy, the Hawks son, father and son team. So it's a fun little exhibition. They fuck around. You know, it's kind of like a Superstars or a Wrestling Challenge match or something. Yuma wants to hit Kratos. Kratos knocks the shit out of him. Then, all of a sudden, and again, another thing I love about NWA right now, out of nowhere comes La Rebellion, who still won that four-way at When Our Shadows Fall, wanting their world title shot. And now they beat the shit out of everybody. And then walk away. Now, here's where Shawnee, I agree with. We've had for weeks this tension building within the division, within the team, between our champions, Aaron Stevens and Kratos. Now, all of a sudden, because La Rebellion's in the picture, now they're kind of pseudo working together, and Kratos is kind of a baby face.
I still think it's going to eventually see these two break up. I just think, again, they're built. We're not used to the storylines anymore.
The long game?
Yeah, we're not used to it anymore. This is the problem. I mean, I don't want to say it's a problem, but we are so conditioned. We're so WWE conditioned that we just think, okay, this needs to be over. You know, okay, the next pay-per-view. No, it's not that way with the NWA. They're having the four – it seems like they're going to have like four major pay-per-views a year, like old school. So they're building to it. So this will come to a head. It's just, you know.
Right.
Again, what is it? You said like 8 weeks to the next pay-per-view, so you have to do something.
Yep. Yeah, you do. I agree 100%.
But it is. It's a little convoluted, but again, it keeps you guessing because we don't know. We could sit here and we can make all the guesses we want, and we have no – this is what I'm liking about it. I can't really predict it. I think in the end you'll see Stevens and Kratos will split up, but how are they going to get to that point? That's what's got to keep us hopefully interested, and hopefully they'll do that.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I have no problem with it. I just was – I know Sean was a little like, oh, where's this going?
It is a little convoluted because you're wondering, you keep thinking, okay, why are they now working together? But, yeah, you'll see. There'll be more cracks coming in the coming weeks, I'm sure. But that's just my prediction. You know, we'll see.
I can see it, sure.
I just think we're so conditioned these days for certain ways of how to watch wrestling that – kind of this, that's what's, I think that's what we're enjoying about the NWA is that it's different.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of tag team tension, next up, Mae Valentine is with the War Kings, Jax, Dane, and Crimson. They talk about the match last week with Slice Boogie and how Crimson handed Slice Boogie his first NWA loss. And he said things had to get done. I had to get it done. But then Mae Valentine asks Jax Dane, you know, you stopped him from using the steel chair. Why? And Jax Dane was kind of like fumbling over his words. So, you know, there's obviously tension there, but even more so, is there something going on involving Jax Dane and what is he keeping from Crimson? So something going on there between that. So in, I guess, it, Sean, in NWA's defense, do we really need two tag teams with interior tension?
Well, yeah, that, maybe, that I, you know, I agree. The Aaron Stevens Kratos one, I'm not really that upset with, because I think eventually that they're building to something. This kind of came out of nowhere. You know, when we saw what happened the previous week and then mm-hmm. having this interview. So it kind of, do we need two storylines, or is it, you know, La Rebellion trying to take advantage of teams not getting along with each other and they're, you know, everybody's infighting and they're going to just take over and wind up taking the championship belts, you know, and then maybe, you know, somebody's going to step up, go, okay, why are we fighting with each other when we need to take this team down? Is that where they're going? You know what I'm saying? Again, this is just all made up in my head here.
Right.
Sometimes we just like to do our own booking, you know, from that standpoint. But yes, I agree with you. I agree with Sean on this one. This one I'm kind of confused on, but let's see where it takes us next week.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that. So there we go. Next up, Mae Valentine has a sit down with the mystery man, the masked man, who we saw for the first time last week wrestle. He wrestled your boy Mims and got the win. He says, quote, "There's one person that knows everything about me, and that's William Patrick Corgan." And of course, Doctor, like we always do with masked guys, you look closely at his face, you look at the holes in the mask, try to figure his nose out, his eyes.
I can't.
And I have no clue. We were trying to get it, you know, because when you're watching wrestlers for a long time, you kind of know what their build is, their physique, and you're kind of looking going, I have no idea who this dude is. So I'm kind of digging. I like masked guys. You know, it's a cool
I did
masked
too, but wrestler situation. You got to hope it's somebody that's at least, I'm assuming it's either somebody well-known on the indies or somebody that had some, you know, international or national success with one of the big companies. But I have no clue because he's not a really big, big guy. So I can't. I don't know if anybody, you know, tweet me if you have any guests at Dr. GPTB. Let me know who you're thinking the mystery man could be. Because
yes, I agree.
I'm not an indies junkie, so.
Are you an indies flunky? I don't know. I had to say that.
You need coffee, and I've had too much.
I know, really. I know, right? So, but no, I agree with you. Like, I like to think that if it's an indie guy, all right, cool. You know, the more, you know, wrestlers, Doctor, that you and I get acclimated with, the better. I'm kind of hoping it's somebody we know. It'd be a cool boon for the NWA if it's somebody big, you know, somebody that maybe was in AEW or in, say, Ring of Honor, or heck, even somebody in WWE for a while ago. We'll see. I'm trying to look. I can't peg it. I can't see it. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. We get an interview segment. Kyle Davis is with JTG and the Strictly Business muscle of Chris Adonis and Tom Latimer. Of course, this coming Tuesday on Power is the finals of the NWA National Heavyweight Championship Tournament, as JTG will face Chris Adonis for the gold. They go back and forth, and the big hook of the interview is that, you know, JTG's alone. He's got no backup. Chris Adonis supposedly has backup. Of course, he kind of boned his buddy last week to win that triple threat match. But then out comes another one of our favorites, Dr. G, Fred Rosser. So Fred gets in there and says he's got backup. So it should be fun. This coming Tuesday on Power, it'll be JTG and Chris Adonis for the national championship. I'm a little torn, Doctor, on who to pick here. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where this is going to go. Do we think Tom Latimer will help or hurt Chris Adonis. Something tells me that Tom Latimer is going to, quote, accidentally do something, and JTG is our new national champion.
I'm tending to agree with you, but you know what? Every time we think we got it, they turn the tables on us. But I'm kind of with you on this. I think that's how it's gonna go down. There's definitely tension between Latimer and Chris Adonis.
Well, you know what? Chris Adonis is no more a member of Strictly Business than you and I are. Where's his track jacket?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
He's wearing some satin jacket he bought it at frickin' Ocean State Job Lots. He doesn't have a track jacket.
Think about that,
Chris Adonis. Think about it. So that's next week. And finally, we get to our main event of the show. Melina takes on Kylie Rae. Fun little match. I was definitely thinking that Melina was going to win this match, but she's doing a ton of cheating. She's pulling hair and she's doing some of her old, you know, her old WWE tropes. But I enjoyed the storytelling, and it was definitely pushing towards Kylie Rae becoming a babyface, even though she wrestled on the heel team at When Our Shadows Fall. Rae rolls Melina in the climax over for a two count, then delivers a gut punch, some forearm shivers, a spinning back kick, hitting move after move. Then Melina buries her shoulder into Rae's midsection. Melina hits the DDT for a two count. Melina whips her into the ropes. Rae recovers and hits Melina with a back elbow smash. Rae kicks Melina in the face. Rae dives over Melina. Rae clotheslines Melina for a two count. Then Melina drives her knee into the midsection. Rae denies the reverse DDT, then super kicks Melina, and what I kind of think is a mild upset, Kylie Rae gets the victory over
Melina. I did too. I was actually kind of surprised, but it was actually the climax of the match was really good.
Yeah, I agree. It was a very, very, very well put together match. Once again, Doctor, the other thing we have to always take into account with the women's division, you have Jazz and you have Mickie James running it. So you know that it's not going to be a slop shop.
No, you could tell since they've come on board that the women's division has definitely taken it to a better level or you know, definitely up their game.
Yeah, I feel like the matches are solid. I feel like everything's very focused. The matches have a focus to them. The storytelling in the ring, the psychology between, you know, spot to spot looks good.
That's why I think the women's pay-per-view is going to be really good. I think it's going to be very well put together.
I think so, too. And again, we'll continue to make our predictions over the coming weeks as to who we think will be in the on that pay-per-view. Will.
I think there's going to be women's world tag team champions. Eventually, I think as they build the division, I think you'll see a tag team.
That's possible. Sure, that's possible. But we're still figuring out whether a champion from another territory will be there. Will it be Britt Baker? Will it be Deonna Purrazzo? I'll be very interested to see.
That would be awesome.
I'd be very interested to see. So there's your June 29th episode of NWA Power. Overall, Doctor, pretty good show. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I understood what Sean Kidd was saying about the some of the convoluted storylines, but I think it's kind of being done on purpose to kind of keep you, okay, where are they going with this kind of thing?
Right.
So let's give it a shot. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks. And we'll be critical if we need to be. If it's something that's exciting, we'll keep running with it. But I like that it keeps me guessing. It just reminds me of when we were kids, you know, and we didn't have all the I wasn't into the dirt sheets and we didn't have the internet and all that where we were, you know, everybody, we had to know everything right away. I kind of like watching it and being surprised. I like being surprised, and it's very hard to do that these days.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
The element of surprise is what's missing in wrestling right now. That's what it is. If you really want to come down to the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah, that's entirely true.
There's just too much out there. There's too much, you know, even the wrestlers themselves talking to all these dirt sheet writers and stuff like that, and it gets out there. It's just there's no you almost on the big shows, you almost kind of know what's going on. I like the element of surprise. I like being surprised, being not knowing what's going to happen next. Listen, we're all going to make our predictions, but we did that when we were younger. Oh, yeah, I think they're going to do this, or this is what's going to happen. And again, old style booking, something that was done 50 times before in other territories, there's nothing wrong with using it. It's just that you have to put your own spin on it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100%.
Even when you're watching movies, you know, there's some movies, you know, they use elements from other successful movies to make a new movie. You just have to put your own spin on it. And sometimes people do it very well and some people don't do it well. It just
depends. The long game. It's called the long game.
Exactly. And it just depends on the all the people involved. You know, if you have the execution of the people involved, that's the key then.
So there you go. There's your episode. There is your episode of NWA Power. So before we go,
you wanted to talk about the weekend, right?
I am going to do that right now. I'm going to do that right now. You're so jumpy. Look at you, jittery. You looking forward to your biscuit sandwich?
Oh,
rubber biscuit. A little Blues Brothers action right there. All right. So coming up, look, for those that are interested, you NWA listeners, you beautiful people. We want to get junkies and flunkies in Charlotte. That's what we want. You're our people. You're our people. You don't have to necessarily be beautiful to be great. So, Gathering 2, taking place July 22nd through the 25th at the Hilton University Place in Charlotte, North Carolina. Go to teamartpromotions.com, and they got a whole weekend, Doctor. Thursday, they have a welcome barbecue party. Then Friday, July 23rd, morning signing and a night to remember dinner.
Then on Saturday, I wish I knew about this.
I know. Then Saturday, July 23rd,
we're planning a trip.
Morning signing and live wrestling, of course. Rumble at the Hilton. Well, come on. There's a championship named after a fucking TV network. I think we can have a pay-per-view named after a hotel. And Sunday, July 25th, more morning signings. So let me take a look here. And let me go to this Night to Remember banquet. What is this? Because So on Friday night, July 23rd, join us for a wonderful sit-down dinner buffet and then a special Night to Remember as we say thank you to some of the legends of pro wrestling who we all have so many memories of. You will be seated at a table with fellow fans and one wrestling legend. Your VIP number will be how we decide on who sits with who. Food menu coming soon, yada, yada, yada. The host of the pay-per-view? Or the whole pay-per-view. The host of the dinner will be, I think, one of like the most legitimate nice guys ever and one of the better announcers, Ken Resnick.
Wow. Former
AWA.
Yeah, you know,
announcer, Ken Resnick.
I think he was on Sean Mooney's podcast. I remember he had a pretty interesting career. You know, it's that's cool. He's a good guy. Yep. He was okay as an announcer, but you know.
So here are the guys. That
nice to have a little no name in the business.
Here are the guys who will be at the table. There's 16 legends. Actually, before we do that, let me go to the super ticket lineup because it's the same kind of guys. So here are the superstars, the legends that'll be at the event. 17 okay, so far. More coming. I think every week, Doctor, here on the Saturday special, we'll announce who the continuing guests are. Ready? Here
okay,
we go.
I'm ready.
I'll start from the bottom and work my way up.
Okay.
Okay? Gary Young. Remember Gary Young, who's in World Class?
Yeah. World Class, yep.
Molly Holly, who I've had the pleasure of meeting twice. Jeff Gaylord. Wasn't he Vampiro? No. Venom? No, that was, wasn't that Jeff Torborg's kid? That's right, he wasn't Venom. Jeff Gaylord. Trevor Murdoch.
Okay.
John Nord, a.k.a. the Berserker. He'd be at JR's table. Berserker the Bum. He'd be at JR's table. Berserker. Tommy Rich. Tommy Wildfire Rich. Former
NWA champion.
The Fulton brothers, Bobby and Jackie. We'll have Bobby Fulton at Jaws's table. At Matt Rotella's table, because he loves Bobby. He actually hates Bobby. Anyway, Kendall Windham. I mentioned Ken Resnick. These guys I'm going to have at your table, Dr. G. axe and smash, demolition. So you could say to their face that they're Road Warrior knockoffs. I'm going to put you at their table.
All right, do it, baby.
You could say they're Road Warrior knockoffs.
I was surprised that John Nord was there, because I remember I heard that he was having some health issues, so I wanted to look it up, but he has, like, he's in a wheelchair.
Oh,
Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. It's confined to a wheelchair and will spend the remainder of his life in assisted living facilities.
That's Lou Gehrig's disease, right? Oh, that's terrible.
Is that what the actual name of it is?
Yeah, that's Lou Gehrig's disease. Ugh, that's not good.
No, you're absolutely
But it's good he'll be there. That means he's in good spirits. So good to see the berserker John Nord at the show. I mentioned the Fulton brothers, Jackie and Bobby. Kendall Windham, Ken Resnick, Demolition, Tony Atlas.
Okay.
Dr. Tom Pritchard. You could say that you're
you could say you have a bromance with his brother.
You could say you have a bromance with his brother. So tell me about that fat shit Conrad that your brother hangs out with. I think he's a bad guy. Eric Embry. There's a guy that I wouldn't mind talking to. Eric Embry, of course, was one of the stars of the latter days of World Class before they went to USWA. So Steve Kern and Stan Lane.
Oh yeah.
So the fabulous ones.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. Barry Windham. I would want to talk to Barry Windham.
I've met him when I was a kid, so
you could say your sister still has a thing for him. Rick Steiner.
Steiner,
one half of the Steiners. Norvell Austin, one half of the PYTs with Coco.
Yeah.
Ah, my favorite Midnight Express wrestler of all time, Loverboy Dennis Condrey. It was the best.
I saw a picture. Remember, I was showing you a picture on Facebook. I mean, he's in some shape, even though I know he battled cancer and everything.
But he's
I think he's in better shape now than when he was wrestling.
It's a shame, you know, with Stan, and it's a shame Bobby Eaton can't be there, though. That sucks.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, he might be there. They're still announcing guys. This guy will be at Sean Kidd's table. You know who I'm talking about. His favorite announcer of all time. More sugary than Gorilla Monsoon or Joe Galli,
David Crockett.
David Crockett. So they could do, oh my God, Dusty! You could say that over and over again. Speaking of, Mike Rotundo. Mike Rotundo will be there. And right now, the headliner.
I remember him.
Yeah, and right now, the headliner, Eazy-E. Eric Bischoff.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
So there you go.
It's a pretty big event.
Yeah, that's so far. There's going to be more announced. We'll have to keep an eye on this, Doctor, over the every week of the show to let everyone know. So we have, of course, Saturday night is the big show, Rumble at the Hilton. Nick Aldis and Trevor Murdoch in a rematch for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. Camille will take on I just lost my train of thought. What the heck is her name again? Why am I blanking? Kenzie Page. Thank you. Kenzie Page. So it'll be Camille and Kenzie Page for the women's title. Looks like others there. I see other pictures of wrestlers. Baby Doll's going to be there. Sam Houston. Wow, the whole family's coming, huh? So there you go. So no, that's going to be on.
Not a bad crop of guys.
No, not at all. Let me, for the prices, let me see, for those that are interested, let's see, the first ticket option, okay, so they did have an ultimate ticket that was $359.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
You get everything, but they're not selling that anymore because the barbecue is officially sold out. So the second option is for $259. You get early 9 a.m. admission to the ballrooms every day, access to the autograph stage, two items signed by the lineup, exclusive admission to the question and answer, the Q&A panel sessions, a reserve seat for the Rumble at the Hilton, a VIP pass, but this pass does not include the barbecue or the banquet. Now, the barbecue sold out anyway.
What's the banquet?
75.
Oh, I'll tell you the truth. That's really not bad. I wish I would have known about this.
But for 75, think about it. For 75, you get to sit with other fans, which is pretty cool, and one legend.
Listen, you know, you can't do that up here in our area. You know, for those that know, we live in the Northeast. You can never get stuff that cheap. That's why they do it down south. Because
yeah. So now,
I'll tell you the truth. I really wish I would have known about this. That would have been a fun trip.
Yeah.
We have to keep an eye on it for next year.
Yeah.
We'll take the NWA Saturday Special down south
to Kakalaki.
To North Kakalaki. We'll do this. And maybe we'll even be able to broadcast live from there or, you know, maybe record some interviews with some of the guys. What do you think?
Let's do it. I am ready. I am ready. General admission tickets, $20 a day, which isn't bad if you just want to go in for a day.
I mean, really, honestly, the prices are really, really worth it.
Let me see how much the hotel, the rooms are. Nice hotel, actually, by the way. Gorgeous hotel, the Hilton in Charlotte. Gorgeous, from what I've heard. You know who told me it was nice? Graham Cawthon says the Hilton in Charlotte is beautiful. Special room rate? Oh, my God. $109 a night. That's great.
It is great.
Because let me tell you something. A lot of these conventions, they fucking jack the fuck out of these hotel rooms. $109 a night. Honestly, that's more than some of the hotels in Vegas right now. Not too bad, though. $109 a night.
Yeah.
So there you go. So for those that are interested and want to go, Team Art Promotions. Go to teamartpromotions.com, The Gathering 2.
Do they do other stuff, too, that Team Art Promotions? Because we got to keep an eye on that.
All I see on their site right now is just this event. So
Keep
an eye on it. Maybe if there's something... You know, maybe Dr. G, something in the fall, perhaps in Philly. See, I drive to Charlotte. You and I would hop in Marine One and we go to Charlotte. I drive. No need to waste money on flights. That'd be a nice drive, too. You know what I mean? What do you think?
Yeah, this is kind of neat. I'll tell you the truth. The prices are.
Yeah,
definitely.
Let's think about it. There's a ton of pictures. I see Kevin. Now, according to the picture on the front of the website, DiBiase, I wonder, it's just a picture of Money Inc. But according to this picture, they may get Kevin Sullivan. I see maybe Tatanka.
I see Sting.
I think that's Sting. Yeah. I think that's fake Sting.
That's who
I see the Hammer.
Lord, I think is.
Oh, yes, you're right. Jeff Gaylord is fake Sting. Thank you, Dr. G. You are correct.
Okay.
I'm sure people were listening.
It didn't look like Sting. I'm like, wait a second. That's not looking like Sting.
No, you know what? And all I guarantee
the Boogie Man. Oh, Sean's definitely in. The Boogie Jesus. Woogie Man's going to be there.
Jesus fucking Christ. Shoot me in the fucking head. Greg the Hammer Valentine looks like he may be there. He may be there because I want to get an interview with him so he could hear my brother could hear him say I took play. And my brother and Callum can take pleasure in Greg Valentine saying, I enjoyed breaking Wahoo's leg.
Yep. Is that David Schultz, too, in the middle there?
I would kill Dr. D. What, the guy in the middle with the... No, I don't think that's David Schultz. That'd be cool if Dr. D was there.
Who is that?
I don't know who that is. Anyway, go to teamartpromotions.com if you're interested in going. And the only reason we're pimping it is because there's NWA action going on there. So definitely check it out. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. Have a great 4th of July weekend. You can follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather. You could follow the doctor at Dr. GPTB. You could follow the brand on Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. I'll get it right eventually. PTBN Wrestling is the network's Twitter handle. We had a killer week. We had shows all week. Place to Be Podcast. We did a nice tribute to Calvin Crawl and we did the Road to WrestleMania 8. Jacob Williams and Tyler Kelly concluded their top 100 WCW matches of all time. New Highway to the Impact Zone, Dr. G, new episode of NWA Crock and Roll dropped yesterday. If you're listening.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you listen.
Yep. Houston Layover Part 1. You talked about your boy Paul Bosch there. Your Brooklyn boy there, Paul Bosch. Good week coming ahead as well. New month. So we got a lot of good stuff. We should have a new episode. Pro Wrestling Love this weekend. Greg Diener will have a new show this weekend as well. He and Robert Bobby Silva, my man, my Met fan man on Facebook, on Twitter. They conclude their GWCW match list. Coming up this week, be a new main event. We should have a new episode of Ben Zani's awesome Row 1, Seat 1. As for next week, there will be an episode of the NWA Saturday Special, but next weekend's going to be a little problematic, personal-wise, for the doctor and myself. So we're either going to have a fresh episode, or we may do, since it is July, we may do a classic throwback episode that we did last year talking about the Great American Bash. So one of those two.
Yeah, things, we got a busy weekend next week.
So there will be an episode of the NWA Saturday Special next week. It'll either be a fresh episode or it will be a throwback episode. Now, I know there's an episode of Power this week, and we'll see what happens. But stay with us.
Catch you.
There will be an episode next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the barbecues or whatever else you plan on doing. Have a good time. We'll talk to you in a week. I am Scott. He is the doctor. You are not.
Ciao.
To the past.